Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Do we have any sheep in the house today? Wow. Do we have any sheep in the house? S-H-E-E-P. Sheep. Let's go to Psalm 23. Psalm 23 we're going to read this morning. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Come on. You guys are like reading that out aloud. How good is that? "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord. Lord, we still our hearts in this moment. We commit ourselves to you to hear from your word, from your voice. Your word expressed in written form, Lord, may it come alive. A double-edged sword, active, sharp. Lord, would it discern the thoughts of every heart today? Would we leave transformed by your word? Open our eyes, open our hearts, that we may see the wonderful truth in your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in pastures green. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me along paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the dark valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of what? My enemies. We sung it today. You anoint my head with oil. My cup hath overflowed. It overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How good is the word of God? It is so powerful. This is David, who himself, King David, was called the shepherd king. He was a shepherd king. He knew what it was to be a shepherd. He knew what it was to look after sheep. But he himself, as a shepherd king, says, "The Lord is my shepherd." He had looked after sheep, but he's saying, "The Lord is my shepherd." What does a shepherd do? A shepherd directs, a shepherd guides, a shepherd leads, a shepherd delivers, a shepherd corrects. A shepherd. What do the sheep do? The sheep follow. The sheep obey. The sheep are dependent on the shepherd. You know, the shepherd provides, protects, but the sheep are so dependent. And Jesus is our shepherd. We're to be dependent on him for his protection, his guidance, his provision. He is our shepherd. See, all of us here, as children of God, as believers, we are sheep before we're anything else. Before you're a dad, you're a sheep. It doesn't mean you have to be a sheep before you become a dad or a mum or a boss or a leader or a friend, but you will always be a sheep. You will always be a child of the Lord. The question is, are you listening to the shepherd? Are you following the shepherd, or are you going astray? We're to be sheep before we're anything else. David was a king, great king, a man after God's own heart. Yet, he was still calling himself a sheep if he's saying, the Lord is my shepherd. Joseph in Genesis says, the Lord has been my shepherd all my life. When's the last time you acted like a sheep? When's the last time you said to God, to Jesus, where to now, Lord? What now? Where are we going? Where are you taking me? Which way are we turning? When's the last time you responded or acted like a sheep? Where you say, Lord, my shepherd, where you go, I will follow. This is the relationship we see throughout the Word. God's the Father, and we're His children. God's the shepherd, and we're His sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. Verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Other versions say, I shall lack nothing, or I lack nothing. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall lack nothing. See, when we have the shepherd, we have everything. We have all we need. Do you believe that? That when you have Jesus, when you have the Holy Spirit, when you have God, you have everything you need. When you see a lack in your life, you feel a lack in your life, you need to look to the shepherd and actually see what he wants. What he wants for you. What he wants for your situation. What he wants for your environment. When you see lack, when you feel lack, look to the shepherd and say to him, what are you doing here, Lord? What are you saying here? Got to look to the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What are some things that you want that the Lord doesn't want? What are some things that you want, that I want, that actually the Lord doesn't want? How are we going to know that? We actually have to seek the shepherd, ask the shepherd, Lord, what is your heart? Lord, what is your will? We need to go to his word. See, the word says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will grant you the desires of your heart. But it's not talking about our own fleshly, selfish ambition desires as the priority. It's actually saying, delight yourself in the Lord. As you delight in him, you take pleasure in the shepherd, you will see what he wants. That transforms your desires and your wants to what he wants. And then as you walk with him, you will see those things come to be. But actually, end of the day, that's what you and I are designed for, what he wants as the creator. So what are some things that you want that the Lord doesn't want? Ask yourself that question this morning. What is it that I want? Maybe I'm feeling a lack. Maybe I'm not seeing it and I'm frustrated. Does God actually want that? The Lord does not want to withhold what he has for us. But things can get in the way of what the shepherd wants. See, for many years, in Yuma South, we wanted to be in a whole different building, didn't we? I think we were in Beaumaris, 15 minutes away, for a good 4 years. We've been part of that for the last 2.5 years we were there. And I remember going in and the heart was, we can't be here forever. And every year since then, when we've had to sign a contract, for that same building, the community center, we'd be like, oh, this needs to be the last time we're signing this contract. Oh, we're believing. We were praying. We're having prayer meetings. Lord, we want to move out of this building. This place is getting too small, Lord. Oh, everyone is prophesying it. We were praying for it. But it just wasn't happening. But you know what happened in that time? What the Lord wanted? There was someone in that time in Beau Morris that lived just down the road. They didn't have a church. They realize there's a church by the library, by the community center. They start coming. They ease into it. They're really hesitant. They're not as regular. But they start feeling like this is home. They start growing in the Lord. Next thing, they moved away from Beau Morris, went further out towards the city. But because they found family, they kept coming back. And we're praying, Lord, we want a building. And now we've moved. Guess what? They live 30 minutes out from Beau Morris. Now we've moved 15 minutes out. They're still coming, baby. They're coming here because God did something in them that He wanted, not just what we wanted, to move building, but now they are so involved in this church and such a key part of what the Lord is doing here. What is it that we want that the Lord doesn't want? As we were praying for a building and we were worshiping at the Beau Morris Community Center, there was a couple that there was sickness in their family. They weren't at church. They weren't from our church. They're walking around the building, not knowing there's a church. They hear worship. They think, whoa, what's that? They stand outside the building. They're doing hallelujahs. They're praying, whatever they're doing. They don't come to church that day for some reason. I can't remember why. But they go home and they tell their daughter, you've got to check out this church in Beau Morris because they live in Beau Morris. Their daughter at that time then came and gave her life again to the Lord with a friend. They both gave their lives to God. And now we've moved. And guess what? That family from Beau Morris, they now come to this church still. Because that's what the Lord wanted, was for us to stay there. What is it that you want that the Lord doesn't want? See, God is the one who is to lead us. He knows the green pastures. He knows the places where we should go. He does. He makes me lie down in green pastures. The places that we need to go, He knows. He leads me beside still, quiet waters. Sometimes as believers, we act like we're the ones leading the Lord. We're like, no, Lord, let's go this way. We might not even say it, we just do it. And it's like, but Lord, where are you? Keep up. We might not say, but we act like it. Are you being led by the shepherd or are you trying to lead the shepherd? It's like, Lord, I give you my life. Holy Spirit, come into my life. But don't work on that area. No. You ain't got no access in that area. Once again, we don't say those words, but we just don't give access. But if we want the Lord to lead us, we actually have to follow Him, seek after Him. Not say one thing and do another thing. When the Lord's saying, hey, stop here. Just think about a shepherd. If it's time to stop, the sheep will stop. They should stop. When He says stop, do you stop? When He says let's camp here, do you just camp there with Him? When He says it's time to rest here, do you do that as His sheep? Where you go, I will follow. Have you ever caught yourself saying, man, when this thing happened in my life, when I went through this, I really had to trust the Lord. Have you ever caught yourself saying that? I haven't really caught myself saying that, but when I look back, I'm like, whoa, I was saying that. Oh, I really had to trust the Lord. Well, we should be trusting the Lord at all times. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, and He will make your path straight. Trusting Him is to be our default. He makes me lie down in pastures green. He leads me beside still, quiet waters. That all takes obedience and trust. He's like, just stay here. Like, no, the grass is really good over there, Lord. I want to go and nibble on that grass. But He's saying, no, stay here, little sheep. Do we listen? The shepherd's way is in our best interest. The shepherd's way is in our best interest. He knows best. Verse 3 says, He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He's our guide. But it says, He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He does it for His name's sake. How He leads us in paths of righteousness. We are to represent Him. As we follow Him, we're actually representing Him, not ourselves. He restores my soul. What does Jesus say in Matthew 11, 28 to 30? He says, Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is how He restores. This is how He refreshes. Are you tired? Are you weary? Are you heavy laden? He says, Come to me. The shepherd says, Come to me and I will give you rest. He says, Take my yoke upon yourself. Learn from me. He says, Because I'm of gentleness of heart. Learn from me. He says, My yoke is easy and my burden is light. He restores your soul. He restores my soul. But we've actually got to go with Him. We've got to stay with Him. We've got to follow Him. You know, when Jesus asks you or me or anyone to do anything, He doesn't ask us to be anything or anyone that He's not going to enable us to be. Whatever He asks you to do, He's actually going to enable you to do it. It's whether you're going to follow when He says do it. But it's only in following that He equips you. He doesn't ask us to be anything or anyone He is not. Whatever He's asking you to be, He already is, and He gives you who He is. Christ in me, I in Christ, and Christ in me. We have that union with Jesus, that oneness with Jesus that we're to grow in. I just love that He does not ask us to be anything that He's not. Jesus Himself is called the Lamb of God. What's a Lamb of God? What's a lamb? That's a sheep. So He's asking us to be His sheep, yet He knows what it is to be a sheep. A lamb is just a young sheep, around 1 year old or under. Jesus does not ask you to be anything that He is not. He says, I am the good shepherd, John 10, 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. He's laid down His life. We heard about it in communion today. Jesus has laid down His life for us. You know, when you think about this, is He your shepherd? What does the shepherd do? What are we to do as His sheep? We're to follow Him. It sounds so simple, doesn't it? Just follow. Just go with Him. Just go with Jesus. We're to follow Him. The good shepherd who lays down His life for His sheep. Do we have any sheep in the house today? We do have some sheep in the house today. But what He's asking us to do is not just to be the sheep, but if He's the good shepherd and we're to be like Christ, He's calling you and I to also be shepherds. We're not just to be sheep, we're actually also to be shepherds to one another, shepherds to the lost, not just shepherds to one another in this room and with other Christians, but shepherds to the lost in your workplace, in your neighborhood. Just go with me really quickly to 1 Peter chapter 5. It talks about shepherding the flock. We can just look at the shepherds being the pastors or the leaders. And in this scripture, it's talking about the elders. But I believe this also applies to all of us because the word tells us to be priests to one another. 1 Peter 5 verse 1 says, So I exalt the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. We are to shepherd one another. We are to shepherd others around us. We are to shepherd our children. We're to shepherd our spouses. We're to, if you're married, you need to be the biggest minister shepherd to your partner. If you have children, you need to be the biggest minister to your children. We don't wait for kids' church on Sunday. We're to do this day by day in how we act, in how we speak. Church is just the overflow of the week. Church is a time to be equipped, to be reminded that you are a shepherd, that he is your shepherd. So he restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Verse 4. Who's enjoying just going through 6 verses of scripture and just breaking it down? Psalm 23, verse 4, as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I take a look at my life and realize there's nothing left because I've been blasting and laughing so long that even mama thinks that my mind is gone. Do you remember that song? As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I take a look at my life and realize there's nothing left. Yeah? That's Coolio in the 90s. Gangster's Paradise. He's realizing that as he walks through the valley of the shadow of death in darkness, he's got nothing left. His mom thinks his mind is gone. Go look up the song if you want, but there's a better scripture here in Psalm 23 that says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For why? For you are with me. Yeah, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Even though, but this guy, David, he's coming from saying, you lead me in paths of righteousness. You lead me beside still waters. Then he says, but even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. The same shepherd who's leading him in paths of righteousness, the same shepherd who's leading him beside quiet waters, the same shepherd who's restoring his soul is also leading him into the valley. It hasn't changed. Lord, how come I'm in a dark place? Lord, how come I'm going through trials? Where are you? He's with you. He hasn't left you. He's the same shepherd who was with you. Were you experiencing peace? Were you experiencing restoration? Were you seeing God move? He's the same God. But if you don't realize that he's with you, then you will cower to fear. The enemy will make you feel like God's not there. But he is with you. Yes, sometimes as sheep, you go astray. And then, yeah, he's not leading you, but guess what? He doesn't move. We're so close that all you have to do is draw near to him and he will draw near to you. The same shepherd is with you in your dark times. He's actually closer in the dark times. If you look at how David is talking about this from verse 1 to verse 3, he's talking about the shepherd. He says, he, the shepherd, he, this, he leads me. He restores. But then in verse 4, he says, you. He goes from thee and he to you. It becomes more intimate. He goes, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. He is with you. From that point, he starts referring to him, not as thee or he, but he's referring to him as you. The intimacy gets greater in the darkest of times. That's the opportunity that's there. It doesn't mean God just goes, I want you to go through dark times. No, but that's part of the world that we're in because of what happened in the garden. There is darkness, but there's an opportunity to draw closer to him. A valley. What's a valley? A valley is a low area of land. between mountains, between hills. But do you know, typically a valley, right in the valley, there's a stream or a river flowing through it. So just because you're in a valley, just because you're in the dark, doesn't mean you're not going to be provided for. Doesn't mean you've lost the benefits of the Lord. He still provides. He gives His Spirit without measure, Jesus says. I give the Holy Spirit without measure. The river still flows in the what? Yes, you guys are still with me. Great. Man, I got worried for a second there. See, if He's a good shepherd, He's not going to leave you in the valley. God says, I will not leave you and I will not forsake you. He leads us into the valley. We're just to keep following Him. He leads us in, He leads us out. Do you know the protection of the rod? You know, the rod that a shepherd walks with, the staff and the rod. Do you know the protection of that? When you've been through tough times, have you seen His protection? Have you called out for that protection? Do you know the support of the staff? When you walk away from where God wants you and He just uses a staff to just hook you back in. Come in. Come in. He's inviting all of us to intimacy with Him. That's what He created us for. The comfort of the staff is the comfort of the Holy Spirit. I've got a good friend that's here today. He's been through some dark valleys. But the Lord has done a great work in him. I met this guy in men's ministry back probably in 2015 when I was working as an adult pastor or men's pastor at Richmond Bridge Church in those days in Yuma City. And 2019, this guy went through some stuff and he's going to come and share. But as he shares, I want you to know that there's been great victory. So my brother Fox, can you come up and share?
Hey everyone, how are you? I've got 5 minutes, so I'll try and summarize as best as I can. Just a little background. I was born and brought up in India, and I immigrated here when I was 18. And during my life over there, there was a lot of suffering, and not just in my own family and stuff like that, but just in the country itself. And I guess it sort of gave me a heart to kind of want to help people. So anyway, I had the opportunity to come to this country, and the first thing I wanted to do was join the army, which I did. I enlisted when I was 21, and I wanted to do something really special. Well, something that actually meant something in the army, so I applied for the Australian SAS. And I went through all of that training. At the time, I wasn't nationalized as a citizen, so after going through the process, I was told that I wouldn't be able to actually serve full time because of all the secrets and whatnot. So you kind of have to be, an Australian. So anyway, so they said, look, we can keep you on as a part-time soldier. So anyway, I stayed on, but then someone through all my contacts, people that I met, said, look, Victoria Police is hiring and, you can join without being a citizen and whatnot. So, and they had a similar unit to what the SAS does. So I joined VicPol when I was 23, nearly 24. I'm 38 years old, by the way, now. So I went through that process, served in VicPol for nearly 10 years. Anyway, just a little, so that's my background in terms of my career. In terms of what happened to me during that time, probably about 2009, I met someone who became a really good friend of mine, and we sort of had a really good friendship and talked about what we'd do in the future and stuff like that. Anyway, we decided to invest in property and, buy some sort of banged up houses and do them up and then sort of sell them. And he wanted to sort of build a business based on that. So we started doing that in 2014, and we bought a place and started renovating it with the hopes to, sell it on and sort of build a bit of a business. Anyway, during that time, we met two other guys that that sort of came on as part of this sort of side business. Mind you, I was still serving as a police officer and everything. Anyway, these two guys, I didn't really know them that well. Long story short, fast forward to 2017, those two guys got arrested for serious offenses, like extremely serious stuff, which I won't get into, but they were investigated by the Australian Federal Police, and they were under surveillance for like a year, and they ended up going to prison, so they were incarcerated from 2017. Anyway, I found out about it all, obviously, and I thought, okay, great, I'm gonna, you know, be questioned about it, but nothing happened for like 2 years. Anyway, again, fast forward to 2019, so this is March 2019, I was at work, and one morning, you know, a whole bunch of federal police officers came into where I was working, and they were like, you know, we got some questions for you. Anyway, they questioned me about a whole bunch of things. I wasn't charged or anything like that. And at the time, my father was actually quite ill back in India. And essentially, I emailed them and I said, look, I'm going to have to go back to India for a while. You know, is it going to be a problem? And they said, no, it's no worries. You can go. Anyway, so I bought a flight, and unfortunately, he'd already passed away as I was leaving. And then I got to the airport, and I was arrested at the airport, and I was actually formally charged for various offenses, very extremely serious offenses, which obviously, you know, was a massive shock for me because I had done none of them. And anyway, basically since then to August this year, I've been fighting this massive legal battle, fighting for my life, really. And in that time, you know, I've had, just like the verses from that chapter says, you know, I've been in a valley for a long time, and I've had some really dark times, and I've had people like my family supporting me, and Pastor Steve, you know, he's always there. And I'm not going to stand here and lie to you guys. Like, I turned my back on God many times during that time because it was extremely difficult and there was a lot of darkness. And, you know, Pastor Steve would always, every time I was like near the edge, it was just crazy because he would either message me randomly or he would just call me and be like, hey man, do you want to get a coffee or whatever? And, you know, get me back on track. And anyway, during the end of this, the case actually ended up going to a trial, which was booked in for a 6-week trial. And just before the trial, you know, my lawyers were like really straight up with me. And even though the police had no evidence against me, it was just those two guys that had made statements to get like a reduction on their prison sentence, which is why all of this happened. But anyway, my lawyer said, look, you need to be prepared to, you know, it could be like 50-50, essentially. You could go to jail or you just get off. Because it was going in front of a jury, you know. And anyway, so I was preparing myself, and at that point I'd literally given up hope, really. And I was preparing myself to face, you know, 10 years in jail, basically. And as an ex-copper, that's not good in prison. So I was, I was in a world of hurt. And it's crazy because the whole time that I was going through all of this, even though I wasn't, you know, I prayed a lot and cried a lot and did a lot of things, like desperate things, like asking God to, you know, take my life because I was extremely distressed. But during that time, I still felt this, God was just looking out for me, you know, and he brought people into my life to actually support me through it, which was pretty unreal. And anyway, the case went to, I'll finish up really quickly. The case ended up going to trial, and the judge actually didn't even allow the jury to come out because she, for the first time, someone actually looked at the case and said, well, this is ridiculous. And even though the trial went for 3 weeks, she ended up telling the Crown prosecution to essentially withdraw their case because it was false. And so that's exactly what they did. Right at the end, they dropped everything and they just withdrew the whole thing. And after nearly 6 years, I was a free man officially, because the whole time, thank you. The whole time I really thought I was a dead man, and not so much for my own well-being, but it was more so for my family, because I knew that they wouldn't have been able to deal with something like that. So I just wanted to share with you guys and hopefully encourage someone that even though you know God doesn't do things the way you think, maybe that's how they should happen or whatever, but I lost a lot of things in this time, but I've actually gained a lot of things in this time, and like a lot more just in how I am now. I'm a totally different person. And not only that, but actually I met someone really special in my life, and we actually got engaged last week. So, just so you know, I was actually single for 12 years before that. So it was, she's great. And I just want to encourage someone and say that no matter how dark it gets, and this is totally, I'm not trying to be cheesy or anything, but it's actually true, like God's got your back. And he certainly had mine, because this could have gone in a totally different direction. And I'm extremely grateful for not just for God's protection, but all the people around me, like Pastor Steve and everyone else that supported me. So,
come on,
anyway,
folks.
Thank you, guys.
Come on. Wow. This guy, seriously, it's the first time he's got to publicly share this testimony. It's pretty fresh. He surprises his girlfriend at the time. I think, was that last weekend?
Yeah.
He got proposed to her, and then she was surprised with an engagement party that night, which I got to be part of. But you know when you pray with people and you're just praying for years, for months, and you're like, Lord, is this actually going to happen? All things work together for the good of those that are called and love the Lord. And, you know, keep talking about that. God turning things around, having favor. And you lose hope. But this guy didn't lose hope. It looked like he lost hope, but he just stuck in there. He lost his job, like his career. The amount of jobs he's taken, the trucks he's driven, the skills he's gained in carpentry and all different laboring and doing bathrooms. He's done so much stuff just for legal fees. He's lost his career, he's lost his job, lost his identity that he used to have. But God has just been chiseling him. And it's just the amount of opposition that was on him from the top and the lies. Only God can make this happen. So this is a powerful testimony.
Absolutely.
And I just encourage you to keep going, Fox. Keep telling your story. Yeah. Don't forget where you've been and keep looking to him. Love you, bro.
I just wanted to say one last thing. Guys, just to give you something at the end, the Australian Defence Force, actually, they suspended me during that time, but they actually just reinstated me about 3 weeks ago. Yeah.
Amen. Come on. So good. Wow, there you go. Even though I walk through the valley, he is with me.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realise that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.